we kind of realized really the goals were twofold. On the one hand was impact. That really, I think for most authors, you don't plan on getting rich or anything by any given book. You have to have a deeper desire. And for me, you know, it's similar. My first book was The Ultra Mindset. And the goal there was, I think that I can share some ideas from these endurance races I've done around the world that can help people. And it's the same thing here. Hopefully by sharing this story of our Alzheimer's journey, hopefully that can help other families, people with Alzheimer's, family of people with Alzheimer's, and hopefully, you know, families who are going through other hard things, whether that's a medical diagnosis or something else. So that's really the core desire. Hey folks, this is Travis Macy. I'm an athlete, author, speaker, and coach. Welcome to the Travis Macy Show. On this podcast, me and my dad, Mace, provide you with compelling conversations with interesting people about endurance sport, ultra mindset, exciting adventure, optimized performance, Alzheimer's resilience, organ donation, good reading, and more. Hey folks, welcome to episode 76. Today we have Kevin Stevens, the editor from Imagine, the adult nonfiction imprint of Charles Bridge Publishing. And he is interviewing me, Dad, and our co-writer, Patrick Regan, about our new book, A Mile at a Time. The book is available now for pre-order on Amazon or through amileatatimebook.com. And we're here today to tell you about it. Big thanks as always to our presenting sponsors, The Feed and Kyoku. Check them out at thefeed.com/Travis Macy. I was a customer of The Feed well before we started working together, and one thing I like and one reason I send my athletes to The Feed is it's a kind of a one-stop shop for most of the things you need. You got hydration, gels and chews, recovery and protein, keto stuff, sleep stuff, bars, waffles, training gear, performance stuff, vitamins, supplement, breakfast. One of the things that I like on The Feed is the massage category. I bought a device called the Hypervolt Go. It's one of those little massage guns that kind of vibrates back and forth. And boy, that thing's been super helpful to me. I use it on my lower back a couple times a day. I use it on my hips and my quads. And, you know, just another example of the little things that make a difference. I'd also recommend it. Sign up for the email newsletter on The Feed, because that's a great source of training and fueling advice. Again, thefeed.com/Travis Macy.
Hello, I'm Kevin Stevens. I'm the editorial director for Imagine Books, which is the adult imprint for Charles Bridge Publishing in Boston. And I'm very pleased to be able to have a conversation today with the three authors of A Mile at a Time, with Travis Macy, Mark Macy, and Patrick Regan. Welcome, gentlemen. It's really great to have you. This is a book that Imagine is very proud to have acquired. Fantastic story. A story that I think is about family. It's about persistence and achievement and all sorts of great topics that I think it'll be fun to talk about today. So, Travis, I'd like to start with you and maybe if you could tell us a little bit about the genesis of the book and how it came about to be written, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for being with us today. And thanks even more for engaging with us in this project. You know, I think any author could say it takes a lot to create a book, and it's a lot of steady work over time. And the editor and the publishing company are huge parts of that. So we're just really glad to have you and the crew on the team. So, right. You know, this book it's been, Dad and I keep joking. It feels like it's kind of taken forever, huh, Dad? Like feels like it's been a while in the workings. And, you know, really the idea I would say came about, around 2018 when, Dad and I, started thinking about doing the Eco Challenge Adventure Race in Fiji. That was also the year that Dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And then we were able to do that race in 2019. And we kind of realized really the goals were twofold. On the one hand was impact. That really, I think for most authors, you don't plan on getting rich or anything by any given book. You have to have a deeper desire. And for me, you know, it's similar. My first book was The Ultra Mindset. And the goal there was, I think that I can share some ideas from these endurance races I've done around the world that can help people. And it's the same thing here, hopefully by sharing this story of our Alzheimer's journey, hopefully that can help other families, people with Alzheimer's, family of people with Alzheimer's, and hopefully, you know, families who are going through other hard things, whether that's a medical diagnosis or something else. So that's really the core desire. And then the secondary desire for me is a little more personal. Just, you know, writing is a powerful thing to do and can also be a cathartic and healing thing to do. And I think for me and probably for Dad as well, you know, the Alzheimer's journey, it's not easy. And it, you know, you expect at some point in your life, the roles are going to shift between parents and their adult children. And for us, that happened pretty early. You know, Dad was 64 when he was diagnosed, and it was a lot for both of us to grapple with. For me being more comfortable with sort of, you know, taking more of a leadership role. I was sort of going along through my life, and I had a career and kids and a house and everything else. And I thought I was a real adult, and this thing came along and I realized I really needed to grow up in a whole new way. And I think, you know, and, for Dad, he, part of his journey was becoming a little more comfortable accepting help. And that's a hard thing to do, especially for, you know, for a lot of us guys. So anyway, the writing process became, just part of that journey and part of the reflection, part of the healing, part of, I would say the acceptance has been a big step. You know, you'll see in the early parts of that Alzheimer's journey, I mean, things were for me super, super hard. And one thing I wanted to do in the book is to share some of those really low and raw moments, just to show other people who might be going through something similar that, you know, it's part of the deal and it's okay. And things can get better, you know, and they may get worse again. And it's a, you know, it's a roller coaster. It's an up and down. You gotta navigate the uncertainty, all of those kind of things. So the writing definitely helped me personally. And I think it also, it helped our team. One of the things we try to share in the book is that a team approach to whether it's something like Alzheimer's or, you know, another medical challenge or just an adventure race or life in general, that team approach is so important. And that's a big piece where Patrick came in. He's become a huge part of the team. You know, Patrick and I think both really enjoyed working through the writing process together, sharing the work, sending drafts back and forth. You know, we kind of approached it where he took the lead on about half the chapters and I took the lead on about half. And then we kind of, you know, we talked and we bounced things back and forth and, you know, sat at the cool little funky coffee shop here in Salida, Colorado and compared notes. And that for me, that team process and just a lot of those conversations with Patrick have been really helpful and on a personal level. And I also think for Dad, you know, readers of the book will see a lot of his journaling is included. And, you know, some of that was kind of handwritten at the start. A lot of it was dictated to my mom who was doing the transcriptions. And that was, I think also it was very much a team process. It was part of the journey. It allowed Dad to be back in his role of, you know, dictating. He was an attorney for decades. So, you know, he was very, very experienced with that. Yeah. Anyway, I could go on and on, but I guess the main 2 points, you know, it's the impact, and then just the personal healing have really gone hand in hand with this book for us.
Well, let me say that you guys as a team did a fantastic job, because the book feels seamless. I know there's contributions from all of you into this, but it feels like really a single story, very personal and very powerful. I do love the blend of the main narrative, Travis, which is in your voice, and the very personal journal entries, Mark, that you contribute. I don't know how painful this is to talk about, Mark, but I'm just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what it was like to receive that Alzheimer's diagnosis and how that news eventually resulted in your decision to participate in this eco challenge, which to my mind is really the central decision in the book, because it's a huge undertaking for anybody, never mind somebody that has received that kind of diagnosis. And maybe you talk a little bit about that for us.
Well, you know, when I was told that I had Alzheimer's, obviously it kind of shook me, you know, and it's not something that you expect to ever hear in your life. And you know, if I remember correctly, you know, a doctor told me that I had Alzheimer's, and he basically told me that I ought to, you know, get your life in order because you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And I immediately just thought, bullshit, I'm not going to die from this. You can't tell me I'm going to die. And I have, you know, I still don't think that I'm going to die. I'm going to die someday, but I'm not going to die from Alzheimer's, and I'm not ever quitting. And I think that, you know, I don't know. I just think I'm not going to die from Alzheimer's disease just because somebody tells me I'm going to, and I'm not going to quit doing what I do in my life. And I don't know, I'm not sure how long ago it was that I was told that I was going to die, but you know, I'm still here and I'm still doing, my life is essentially the same. You know, I do everything that I've ever done, and I continued with the eco challenge, you know, and I'm just going to keep after it. And that's it. It's as simple as that. You just can't quit doing what you're going to do just because somebody tells you you got this disease and you're going to die. I remember my insurance agent told me I was going to die. I said, what? You can't tell me that. Let's get out of here.
You do say it's simple, Mark. But first of all, to an ordinary mortal like me, it does not seem simple to take on one of these endurance races that you've done so many of. So I have great admiration for you guys and what you do anyway. But then to know that you had to process this information and deal with it, and at the same time continue to take on that fantastic challenge of the eco race is an amazing story, and it really does resonate. But I also hear coming through in your voice that power of your will. It seems like you're a person with a very strong will. I mean, you had to be to do these races in the first place, but to transfer that power from your passionate pursuit of a sport to the very, very personal details of your own, you know, health. To me, I think you deserve a lot of praise for that. And you make it sound easy, but I know it couldn't have been easy. And you're due a lot of admiration for it, seems to me.
Well, that's nice of you to say that. I I'm just a regular guy who did a lot of stuff and just decided I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If I can add just a little there, Kevin, I think, you know, really engagement and impact have been very important pieces of our Alzheimer's treatment, you know, of addressing the journey. And, you know, one of the big challenges of something like Alzheimer's is, you know, you hear for decades, oh, no treatment, no cure. And thankfully things are changing in that way on the medical front. You know, we get the newest drug, the Biogen aducanumab, and you know, hopefully other things that will happen along the way. But for what it's worth, I mean, I think that staying engaged is just huge. And that Eco Challenge decision, you're right, it was a big one. You know, you look at, okay, you got a 10-day race out in Fiji, you're running, you're biking, you're paddling, you're navigating, you're going all night long, you're in the ocean, you're in the mountains, it's hot, it's cold. It's very hard for anyone to do. And there's definitely increased risk when you got Alzheimer's along kind of as your fifth teammate and right. your fifth very unknown, unpredictable teammate. Yes, there's a big risk to that. But one thing I feel like I realized as we were thinking about whether or not to take that risk is, what's the risk of not doing it? What's the risk of not going for it? And I think that's something that people overlook a lot is whether it's the Eco Challenge or something else. Maybe it's your career choices. Maybe it's moving somewhere you've always wanted to move or whatever. You know, sometimes people overlook the risk. What's the risk if I don't go for it? I've got this chance to do something that right now is very important to me or to my family or, you know, to my kids or my community. Sometimes people don't go for it and there's a big risk to that. So, you know, I'm thankful that we realized, you know, if we just kind of throw in the towel here and don't go for it with something that's really important to us right now, there could be risk down the road. So I'm glad that we went for it. I think we've continued to stay engaged. This book process has continue that engagement, which I think has been great for Dad, and I know has been great for me. We started doing a podcast together, which is a way to continue that engagement. And then I also think back to that impact idea. You know, if you read the self-help and the mental health kind of stuff, which I'm way into, people want to help, and having an opportunity to help someone that helps the helper. That's something that, you know, especially if you can take something that maybe has been a challenge or, you know, a perceived weakness and turn that into actually, this is an opportunity to help people. I think Dad's done that. And I was amazed, you know, Dad, you remember that? Like 2 days after you were diagnosed, you decided, and I think you talk about this in one of the journal entries, you decided that you're going to use this as an opportunity to help people. And you started telling people like at the rec center, you know, hey, I was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and that gives them a chance. What did the one guy told you he had Parkinson's or something? And like, you got to hang out in the sauna talking about this stuff. Like that's really powerful. And you've continued, Dad, to make a big difference with the Alzheimer's Association, with some of their fundraising, you know, doing chats. We've done some, you know, some live keynotes. We've done a lot of these Zoom calls with Alzheimer's groups. I mean, that impact's huge. And I know it helps me, and I think it probably helps you too, Dad.
Sure it does. Makes me feel good to, you know, help people out if I can. And I talk to people, you know, when I'm running who, you know, they recognize me and I talk to them and, you know, pretty soon, you know, an hour's passed and I'm BSing with the guy and telling him, you know, you don't worry about all this stuff. You can continue doing what you want to do. And I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, you're a team member, but like me, you're kind of outside of the core family story here, but you're obviously very kind of in tune with it. Very much part of this process that Travis has been talking about. Maybe talk to us a little bit about how you met the Macy family, and maybe a little bit about your relationship, not just with Travis and Mark, but with Pam and others as well. And and how that developed during the course of this book project.
Sure. Well, I do live in Salida, Colorado, the same town as Travis. And as it turns out, two doors down, before Travis and his family moved here, a family lives two doors down from me that the father of the family was one of Travis's best friends growing up in Evergreen. Oh. So I didn't know that at the time. Like many things we found out here, we owe all of our belongingness to our children. Everything we, you know, everyone we meet comes through our kids here because the kids are on the team or they play with kids and then you meet their parents and pretty soon you become a member of the community. So we have them to thank for that. And one day, one evening, my son, who's a little bit older than Travis's son, was down jumping on the neighbor's trampoline, and as I recall, and I went down to supervise, in other words, have a beer in the backyard while they jumped on the trampoline. And I met Travis, who was visiting and hadn't moved to Salida yet, but they were looking at houses, I think, fall of 2020, is that right? So we got to talking the usual stuff, what do you do? And at the time, Travis, I think, mentioned that he was an athlete. I didn't really have any concept of what ultra endurance athlete was at that point. I'm like you, Kevin, you mentioned you're more of a mortal. I am also a mortal. I consider myself a multi-sport non-athlete. So I do things because mostly I want to be in my community. Everyone is a mountain biker. Everyone plays in the river. Everyone, you know, does skiing, hiking. And so I do all those things, but I do them on a more mortal level, a human level. So anyway, I met Travis and I remember coming home and talking to my wife and saying, yeah, I really met this really nice guy, friend of Mark's. And that was kind of it. And then Travis, I guess, had asked me what I did and I told him and I didn't think too much about it. I remember he was interested, but he didn't mention anything about a book. I take that back. He had mentioned he had written a book already, which is pretty impressive. But I did move on. And then a couple of weeks later, I got an email from Travis out of the blue and said, would you mind having a look at this proposal? And would you be interested? And I, sure. I remembered him as a pleasant enough guy. And so, yeah, I took a look at the proposal and immediately saw something. It was a really well-conceived and executed book proposal. I mean, not what I was used to when you work in publishing, and I have worked in publishing for a long time. I know, Kevin, that, you know, as soon as you say you work in publishing, it kind of opens, it can open floodgates and people think, oh, I have an idea for a book, or I have to show you something, or would you mind? And it goes with the territory. Well, this one, I mean, I'm really glad I said yes, because I was intrigued by the story. Travis and I got in touch. He did send me the proposal that he had already developed. And I thought it was excellent. And then we met, I think shortly after, we met for coffee, as he said, talked it through. And then a bit after that, it was Thanksgiving weekend. And he said, my parents are coming into town from Evergreen. And would you like to get together? And so I jumped at that chance. I wanted to meet Mace. By then, I was intrigued with the whole family. And he said, he suggested we go for a hike together on the mountain right behind town here.
Well, that was brave of you to accept that, Patrick.
Well, yeah, right. So I think I did say, you know, I will go on a walk with you, but if anybody breaks into a run, I'm out. You'll find me back in town. And so it ended up being a family affair. My 13-year-old son came with us, and I, you know, barely had talked to Travis at that point in person. So Travis and I kind of fell in conversation as we hiked, and my son fell into conversation with Mace, and those two just jabbered away and were hitting it off. And so we walked for an hour or two, and by the time we finished that walk, I think we all realized we were going to work together. There were no commitments, but I'd kind of fallen in love with their story. You know, as a writer, you're always looking for a compelling story, and I knew that they had a compelling story. As I got deeper and deeper into it and got to know them better, the relationship between Travis and Mace and Pam, the whole family, was really something extraordinary. It is something extraordinary. I've never seen it. I'm from a big family. I lost him early in life. But the depth of their relationship, their honesty, their sacrifice for each other and love for each other was really moving. And it gave me, as Travis mentioned, there's always got to be a a reason other than the money. You don't write books for money. I've done this long enough to know that's the truism of that. So I had my reason immediately. Is just wanting to explore this with them. And I realized that this was a project they needed to do, whether they had a publisher or not. It was going to happen. They needed to do it for their own reasons. And honestly, wanted to help them take that journey. And so no regrets. It was excellent. And Travis talked a little bit about the way we worked, which was new to me. I'd never worked. I'd written books kind of like this, but never in such a full-time collaborative process. So this is technical, but we use Google Docs, which I'd never used. I'd always written on my own Microsoft Word or whatever, and then turned in a manuscript. Well, Travis and I, this is a live collaboration. And so we were seeing each other write. And at first that I was a little like, ooh, I'm not sure about this. And I would do a draft and say, Travis, I have to do this in my version, then give it to you. And then, you know, after that first draft, as we got more comfortable with each other, we're like, let's edit on the fly. And it worked great. Travis is an excellent writer. His first book was really, you know, extremely well written. And I love the glimpse into this subculture, which is context for the book, this, you know, ultra athleticism and the exploits that these guys have done. They both look fairly normal. Do not be fooled. these guys are extraordinary, and the things they do, which is really not what the book is about, but it provides a great insight into the kind of people they are. And as Mace was saying, you know, that don't quit attitude, that's the Macy attitude. And it's been great for me to see, you know, they're to look up to them. Really cool.
Well, that's a great summary, Patrick. And, you know, it is a great story. But there are lots of great stories that never get told, because the art of telling a story and turning, you know, something profound in life into something that can be shared to people that don't know anything about you is not it's not an easy task. And you're obviously both very good writers, and you brought that collaboration to the point where you've captured the essence of that mindset, Patrick, that you're talking about. But Mace, I'm interested a little too in the diary entries, because I mean, Travis and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. They add something to the book that I just think helps bring it right up to even another level. It's because they're honest, they're forthright, they're very personal, and they have a tone about them that immediately, I think, strikes a chord in a reader in a way that is pure. I mean, you know, nothing to do with technique or anything. It's just almost like right to your soul. I'm just wondering how you feel about, I mean, obviously you're comfortable with it, but you know, you're putting yourself out there in a way. And I'm just wondering how you came to that decision about including those diary entries, and how you feel about having your soul, as it were, and your most personal thoughts put right on display.
Well, actually, I wrote those diaries quite a long time ago, and I can't actually remember what I wrote or anything else. I just thought, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write this stuff, and here it goes, and here, Trav, to do something with it. You know, it's very simple for me to do that. You know, I Travis told you, I used to be a lawyer and I used to write a lot of stuff, and so I'm pretty used to it, or I was, but I don't know. It just seemed simple. I started writing and there we go.
did you ever think that, you know, that what you were writing was going to be, you know, published in a book that thousands of people would be reading?
No, not really. I'm a pretty simple guy. I am trying to get that across. You know, I never did think I would write a book. I always thought I'd like to, but I never thought I'd get around to it because I don't have time and, you know, got kids and family and used to have a job. And
yeah.
And
I think maybe, Dad, one thing about, you know, the idea of being vulnerable, putting yourself out there, you know, kind of exposing yourself a bit. One thing I love about these ultra endurance sports, whether it's adventure racing or ultra running or, you know, the Leadville 100 mountain bike ride, these are long, challenging events with a very uncertain outcome. And when you do them over years and decades, like Dad and I have done, you know, sometimes things go well and you end up winning or setting your PR or whatever, but very often things don't go well or don't go as you've expected. And, you know, oftentimes you're in a very, exposed setting, whether it's on TV or, you know, you're racing in front of people or even just to yourself, you know, right. It breaks you down to a very raw place. And I think that's a good thing to do. You know, when we can put ourselves through challenging things that that have an uncertain outcome, we just you get more used to it. So something like a book where, you know, maybe you talk about here are my challenges, my low days. You know, I talk about, you know, some of the real significant anxiety and depression that I've experienced through this process. You know, it doesn't I don't really care if people know that stuff. And furthermore, if it helps them again, then great. So, yeah. I think it kind of all goes, together and, just sort of part of the deal, as Dad would say.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I think I know why you went into, you know, the ultra sports, Travis. But Mace, talk a little bit about what first attracted you to it. And when did you take your first race? Or, you know, is that something you can recall?
No, not really. I mean, I've been an athlete my whole life. You know, when I was a kid, that's what I did. I played sports and you know, my dad was, you know, an athlete kind of. And, you know, he played sports and he coached all the teams that I played on. I played all the usual sports, you know, basketball, baseball, football, you know, everything. And that's what I did as a kid. And I did it all my life as a kid. And my dad was always part of it. And I think I told you he coached all the teams that I played on. And that kind of stuff just kind of, you know, was normal for me. When, you know, I had my own kids, it was important for me to be around Travis's stuff and my other kids' stuff. And you it's just normal.
And you were doing some of these ultra events when they were small children, presumably. So they saw you taking part in these and they saw you putting yourself out there, and I'm sure that was part of their education about the world, right? And yeah. About you.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I think I mean, it was.
It doesn't. I never thought that anything I did was special, and I still don't think anything I've done is that special. You know, just normal stuff that comes along and you do it and pretty soon you're hanging out with people who do the same stuff you do. And once that happens, you're in Fiji. You know, somehow you get to Fiji, you don't know how to character, but here I am.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Fiji, because, you know, that Eco Challenge race is really the core event in the book, if you like. It's kind of the event around which the story gets told and that which the story leads into, which I think is really one of the great strengths of the structure of the book. Now, this is an event that went on for a number of years and then they stopped. But I think you were involved, Mace, weren't you, repeatedly?
Yes.
During its height. And so you must have been really challenged and engaged by it to keep going back there year after year.
Well, it was only 2 years, so you know, the first Fiji race, I don't even really know how it came about. I, you know, heard about it and, you know, and I decided to do this race in Fiji with a couple of friends of mine. And so we signed up and we went. And the first time, the first Fiji race, you know, is very, very difficult race. And it's full of all kinds of, you know, the terrain was very difficult. You know, everything stinks and there's, you know, it's not a pleasant place to be. And after that first Fiji race, myself and a lot of other friends of mine, we've decided, well, you know, glad we got to Fiji, but we're not ever going back there again because it's just too darn hard, you know. It's just everything was difficult, you know. And every one of us who do this kind of stuff, we talked about it and decided we're not ever going to do this again. And then all of a sudden, somebody says, you know, there's going to be another race in Fiji. And my first thought was bullshit. I'm not going back there. And I talked to, you know, some of the best, you know, ultra runners there are, you know, I talked to them and they all said they're not going to go again. And then all of a sudden, Mark Burnett's got Fiji on the schedule again. And I thought, well, might as well go. So, you know, all of us, here we are all again.
Yep. So we went. And that was, yeah, that was, yeah, my first Eco Challenge, which was big for me, 2019, when we did the Eco Challenge / World's Toughest Race. And a little bit of the early perspective, those original Eco Challenges, Dad did eight of them between 1995 and 2002. So that was, those were formative years for me as a teenager. You know, I was doing my own sports and going to school and stuff. So I never got to go, but I would watch them on TV and, you know, they were produced by Mark Burnett. And then these, shows would air on Discovery Channel or USA Network. And they were, commercially very successful. And actually, it was actually kind of the start really of reality TV. So, Dad would record those on VHS and remember, Dad, we'd be downstairs, you know, when I was a teenager lifting weights, mm-hmm, and doing crunches and push-ups and watching the Eco Challenge. And, you know, I just always figured someday I'm going to do this Eco Challenge thing. And again, the Eco Challenge itself, fizzled out, after 2002 when they did the race in Fiji. And a lot of that was because Burnett went on to invest more in the Survivor show and then various other reality shows. And I continued, I finished college in 2005 and I got way into adventure racing and did many similar such races, multi-day events and various places around the world, but never the Eco Challenge itself because it just didn't exist. So, anyway, when it kind of, you know, when the word came back in 2017 or 2018 that, hey, Eco's coming back, Burnett's producing it, Bear Grylls is, you know, going to be the on-screen host, all those things were very exciting. And you know, the original plan was, Dad was going to do the race with his good old buddies, Bob Haw, Marshall Ulrich, Adrian Crane, Nancy. These are, you know, folks he's raced with over the years, and they're all over 60, you know, which is another challenge in itself. And then I was going to race with kind of a more competitive oriented team. And as the Alzheimer's diagnosis came about and, you know, the race got closer, really, I just realized on a personal level, like, you know, far more important to me right now than having a competitive experience in this race is doing something with my dad, you know, that's going to be a big event for both of us. And we don't know how it's going to go or what's going to happen, but I know we want to be in it together. And I think that was the right choice. And that's a lot of the story that we tried to tell in the book.
Well, definitely. And the story of how the race mirrors, you know, the relationship is great. And really is what I think moves the book up to another level. And I think in a way you've all answered this, but I'll ask it maybe in a slightly different ways. I'm just wondering, especially, you know, given, I know, Patrick, you've written other books, and Travis, you've written a book as well. What is it about this book that you want readers to take away that's different from what you've written before?
Want to go ahead, Travis?
Yeah, sure. You know, I hope people read this book, you know, and firstly find something relevant to them. I think that's something any author is seeking, is hopefully some personal connection. And some people might read it, you know, maybe they're into these outdoor sports or adventure racing or something, and you know, maybe it just inspires them to be active, to get outside, to do something challenging. But even more so, I hope that the deeper inspiration and message is just on that personal level, the community level, the family level, of let's focus on the team, let's focus on the relationships in our life that are really important, and let's hang together through adversity, especially through through the uncertain, the uncontrollable, you know, the pandemic, which hopefully is getting a little bit to the rearview mirror. I mean, that was a wake up call for all of us that, wow, life is a lot more out of our control than we may have thought or hoped. And something like Alzheimer's is, I think, a very similar, you know, a similar journey, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the time frame. It impacts everyone differently. And I hope that people get that message that, hey, when you face this huge challenge, this uncertainty, it's going to rock you to the core. That's going to be really hard. But things can get better. And a big way to do that is to hang in there as a team and just keep doing your best day after day. So yeah,
that's a nice summary, Travis. Patrick, would you like to add to that? Or
Travis, I think, pretty much nailed it. I was only going to add to that I think readers may be drawn to this from different subcultures. There's interest in the ultra athleticism world that Travis has written about before. There's obviously interest from the Alzheimer's community, because we've got Mark is taking on a real high profile role with the Alzheimer's Association and has become a great spokesperson or symbol of what's still possible after you get that diagnosis. The takeaway for me, it was my personal takeaway, and I think it'll be the reader's key takeaway, is really the relationship at the core of the book. And I referenced that earlier. It's just a beautiful relationship, and it all kind of works together. It's because of the relationship that this family has been able to accomplished so much in the 3 years post-diagnosis, 3 years, 4 years now. It's amazing. I mean, when Mark gets told at diagnosis, you know, you need to get your affairs in order and you're going to die. Well, here we are 4 years later, and the things they've accomplished are more than most people would dream of accomplishing in a lifetime. So, I mean, And that is, I believe, because of this family unit and the way they trust each other and support each other, believe in each other. So that's my takeaway.
Yeah, that's a nice summary as well, Patrick. And, you know, I think as a person that's coming from the outside and reading this book that, you know, doesn't know you and doesn't know the community, one of the things that really impacted me when I first read it, and one of the reasons that I think Imagine wanted to publish this book, is that we feel that relationship, that nexus of relationships, you know, not just between Travis and Mace, and not even just, you know, Mace and Pam, but the whole family unit, and the way that family exists within the you know, the Colorado community that you live in and everything. It is a very strong message. And I think it's also, you know, I don't want people to watch this podcast either and think that this is a somber book, because this is not a somber book. This is a very exciting book, which has a lot of action as well. A lot that you guys, what you guys do is really remarkable. And you've managed to capture that in prose and communicate that too. And the drama of participating in the Eco Challenge is captured and is communicated. I'm sure some of our readers will have seen the Amazon Prime show on which, you know, where you guys are featured, and they'll know how exciting it is. That same spirit runs through these chapters, I think, in a way that I mean, not only do you get the excitement, but then you get the context and you get the impact. And that's, I mean, you know, you couldn't ask for more from a book, really, you know, to get excitement and adventure, but also to get, you know, a good, profound message that can help us all face whatever it is we need to face as readers in our lives. I think that's something. And I just like to thank all three of you for, you know, for having the vision to not only recognize this as a story that I think is meaningful, but also to have the skill to put it together in the way that you did. And to congratulate you, and looking forward to the next stages in the editorial process where we work together, and then to bringing this to a wide readership through our Penguin Random House sales force and our distribution capability. We really hope that we can reach a wide audience that I think this book deserves.
Wow, I'm excited. I don't know anything about the book process. You know, I'm listening to this. What do I do? Go stand out on the corner and show my book to people? Or
if anything like that you want to do, Mace, go ahead. Every sale, every new reader is valuable, right? And it's about readers. It's, yep. You know.
Yeah, that's one thing about the, you know, this Alzheimer's journey that maybe other families can relate to. I mean, time and past and present, things become challenging. And another thing dads continue to teach me is just be in the present. It's never too late to help people, and just be here and now in the present. And I think that's what we'll keep doing, you know, get this thing on the shelves as soon as we can. And then once it's out there, I think that's an exciting new phase for me and for Dad and for Patrick and for Imagine, you know, as a team to, how do we spread the word? And, it's exciting. It's, you know, just like a race, the Eco Challenge, you know, you're running forever and you don't want to run anymore. And then finally you're biking again, you know. It's kind of like the book process. You're writing forever, and then, you know, okay, now most of the writing's done, but now I got to design the book, and that's gonna take forever too. And then, but then it'll come out, and we'll be in the marketing phase. You know, it takes.
You guys are past the most challenging part from your perspective, which is actually writing it, because I mean, this is a world I know pretty well. And I know that it's not easy to do something.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not. And I do, you know, I kind of did before, but I just want to thank Patrick publicly for being in our team. And I mean, seriously, Patrick, you made a huge difference. I remember that first time when we met there, and I just thought, like, this guy gets us. He lives in a small mountain town, like us, and I think as a co-writer, or, you know, some people do it as a ghostwriting relationship, whatever it is, getting the person is so important. And then as I learned with him more and explored his work, Patrick's ability to grasp someone else's voice is just uncanny. And Patrick, I appreciate that so much. And I think that the readers will not be able to tell, you know, what's a part that I drafted originally, or what's a part that Patrick drafted originally. It's just, Patrick,
well,
you did.
I can tell you there's no difference. It's organic experience.
Yeah. Patrick, so. It's such a skill. And I know that you put I mean, Patrick spent so much time listening to my podcast, reading all these, you know, articles and stuff that I wrote in the past, and just, you know, little nuances, little traits and quirks, whether they're good or bad, that come across in my writing. Patrick just mastered those, and I really appreciate it. And then finally, just on the personal note, I mean, working with you, Patrick, has been awesome. Like I said, we had a lot of fun, and this is the kind of thing, you know, Dad and I did the Eco Challenge together, and in years from now, like, no matter what happens, we're going to be able to say, like, man, remember that in Fiji, like in the raft? And, you know, it's one of those things mm-hmm. that sticks with you forever. And same thing, Patrick and I, man, we're going to see, you know, 20 years from now, I'm sure we'll still be friends, but man, remember when we wrote that book together? Like, who knows what's going to happen in between, but it's one of those experiences that draws you together as a team. And I'm just so thankful that we got to share it together.
Well, you know, you won't believe this, but yesterday or a couple of days ago, we ran into Patrick, or I ran into Patrick, and we started talking a little bit, and my first thought was, that guy knows more about me than I do. You do. how is that possible?
It's true. Patrick is the resident expert on Mark Macy's youth yes. and career development, et cetera.
Well, that's
absolutely.
That's a good tribute, Patrick, and it's one of the reasons why this book is good. And anyway, guys, thank you very much. I don't know, will that do for now, Travis? I think we're good.
I think so. Yeah. Thanks for doing this, everyone. Yeah, Kevin, thanks for the great questions, and like we said, thanks for, man, you're part of the team. So thanks for being along. Sure.
Happy to be there. Late to the party, but you know that means I can. You know, I got a little bit more energy, right?
Yeah, exactly. You can re-energize us. Right. I know, Dad. Like I said, that time frame stuff, Dad and I keep saying, man, we've been doing this forever, huh, Dad?
It's great to be with everybody. And thank you, Travis, for what you said. It was, I mean, my last word will be, I was honored to be on the team and to get to help tell the story. It was really, truly an honor.
Right.
Cool.
Okay, guys. Listen, thank you very much again.
Huge thanks to our presenting sponsors, The Feed and Kyoku. Check out thefeed.com/Travis Macy. On The Feed, one of my favorite brands is Scratch Labs. Scratch really has been a leader in endurance nutrition for a number of years now. My go-to for endurance events and the go-to for a lot of my coaching clients is a Scratch Super Fuel. This is a high-carb drink mix that for me, it's one of the few things I can just consume for hours and hours and hours with consistent energy and also without getting tired of it. The Scratch bars are a great snack. I love the taste, and my kids also love the taste, which is good when we're out skiing, mountain biking, rock climbing, running around with donkeys, all the things that we like to do as a family. The Scratch crispy rice cakes are also a sweet, tasty treat for you or your kids or maybe your spouse or climbing partner. Again, thefeed.com/Travis Macy. Thanks for giving that a look. And thanks again to The Feed and Kyoku for bringing you the show. Hey, guys. Thanks, as always, for listening. You know, I want to reach out to you on a personal note here. This podcast is still young and relatively small with the audience, and I want you to know you're part of the team. You know, you listening to the show, liking, rating, reviewing, sharing it with friends, that kind of stuff really does help. I really enjoy doing this and want to keep that going. And it's going to be the same thing with this book. You know, we're gonna work hard at promoting it, trying to schedule as many interviews sooner rather than later for Dad, just because Alzheimer's is progressing and we're not sure what things are going to be like in March when the book hits shelves. And that's part of the message of this book, as you heard. It's just embracing the uncertainty and taking things one step at a time. So anyway, if you think that this book might help people, whether it's someone walking the Alzheimer's journey with their family or someone else going through something tough, feel free to spread the word and spread the message.
Again, the book is at amileatatimebook.com, and it's also up on Amazon and other stores now for pre-order. All right, guys, have a good one, and we will catch you next week. If your kids are starting school, all the best to you and yours with that oh-so-big of transitions. The Travis Macy Show is part of the Palm Tree Pod Co. network of podcasts. It is produced and edited by Anthony Palmer. The content for this episode is created by me, Travis Macy.